Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle.
We're going to talk about a few issues coming out of the UK right now, with the UK and Japan signing a defence agreement that allows both countries to deploy forces on each other's soil. That's the latest move towards closest security ties. Plus, the UK's ailing healthcare system has been under fire over the past few weeks over issues such as increased demand and low wages. Let's get some insight on these issues and more from Raffaello Pantucci, who is Senior Fellow S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies, NTU. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Very good. Thank you for helping me out with this. So this first issue that we're going to talk about is on the back of a bit of a world tour from the Japanese Prime Minister Fumio Kishida, who, of course, was part of this latest defense agreement between the UK and Japan. What are your thoughts on the significance of this deal? What's in it for both parties here? How much does China play into the spotlight here?
Well, I think your first, the first part of your question is really explains a lot of it. A big part of this is about Japan really shifting its general defense posture and its general alliance postures around the world. You know, this is part of Mr. Kishida's larger visit around Europe, and it's part of a, you know, reflection that we've seen in Japan, a real desire to increase their defense spending, to increase their defense budget, to increase their defense posture. And it is very heavily about China. And it's about Japan sort of tying itself into the global alliance, you know, the United States, Europe, to really build itself into be a key player. Now, that amongst Western allies, the UK has always been a partner that Japan's had a very close security relationship with. And the agreement they've now signed is really a strengthening of a very strong defense relationship that they've had. And actually, that's been building for some time. Just, I think it was last year, in the last quarter of last year, they signed a big defense agreement with the Italians and the Brits to develop a joint fighter combat jet together, which is a really big step for them all. So this is really something about Japan stepping out into the world. It's also very heavily about Japan showing that it's part of the kind of global alliance, Western alliance, if you will, that's trying to, you know, contain or do something about China.
Yeah, the largest military emphasis since World War II, but they're doing things very differently this time around. There's also France, if we were to zoom out in the more Euro picture, France, you know, and Japan vowing more security cooperation in the Indo-Pacific. What does France bring to the table here as far as, you know, as we've been talking about the whole China issue is concerned?
Well, I mean, if we're doing it in defense terms, you know, and you're looking at military capabilities in Europe, France is really the second, or some would say the first, you know, military power in the European context. So for Japan, that is trying to build up its relationships across the sort of Western alliance, it makes good sense that France would be a very important partner for them as well. So, you know, while we've seen the Germans are also building up their defense capabilities, and other Europeans are as well, you know, the French are really have always been a very major player out in the Indo-Pacific region. And so it makes sense that you can see them trying to build the relationship both with London and Paris at the same time.
Yeah, we often take for granted their military tech or military sciences and the kind of relationship, even here in Singapore, that we have with France with regard to military technology. I do want to talk a little bit about the United Kingdom. Quite a number of issues coming out from them the past few weeks. One of it is the healthcare situation over there. I mean, why is it so bad? What are some of the fixes that are required right now?
Well, at the moment, the biggest problem is seems to be quite locked around pay in some ways. We've had an incredible jump in inflation, and we haven't seen pay, frankly, keep pace with that. And when you're looking at the sort of healthcare sector in the United Kingdom, you know, healthcare, the NHS, National Healthcare System, I think accounts for, you know, it's the biggest expenditure on the UK national budget. And so to increase pay across the board there is something which is going to have a huge bite out of the national economy. At a moment when we're seeing huge pressures on the national economy across the board, you've got inflation that's soaring, you've got the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, which is putting pressure on energy prices across the board, and you've still got the fallout from COVID that's still resonating. You know, there's a particularly bad, it's been a particularly bad winter for other diseases like flu.
Yeah.
So there's been a lot of pressure on the healthcare system at the same time as, you know, generally the inflation and prices have been going up. So you've got, you know, people who are working, their nurses, doctors, are feeling increasingly under pressure and have been struggling really for some time now because, you know, COVID has been around for, what, 3 or so years. So you've had a healthcare system under a lot of pressure, and you've suddenly had this big spike in inflation, and the government's frankly struggling to find ways to keep the healthcare sector happy to try to keep up with this.
Yeah, I think a couple of weeks ago, first strike from nurses in over 100 years. Rishi Sunak's government, since June has had to deal with, I mean, he wasn't in power then, but since June had to deal with transport strikes, now healthcare issues. Where else do you see it leading to in light of the point that you brought up, which was the inflation picture? I mean, they've been forecast to go through a bad recession for at least the next 2 years.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to get any better. I think if you're looking across the public sector, and of course that includes education and the wider civil service, I think you're going to see a lot of pressure. And I think, frankly, this next year is going to be going to dominate the narrative. I think from the Tory government's perspective, the effort from there and from Mr. Rishi Sunak's perspective is to try to get this resolved or at least calm down over this next year, because as we enter the year after that, we're getting into election period, and he's of course very keen to continue and to win, and unless they've managed to stabilize some of the situation before then, I think he's going to be looking at a sort of going into an election with heavy strikes or hanging over him, and that will of course not be very positive. Certainly the numbers at the moment aren't looking very good for him, but he's still got, you know, a year and a half, 18 months until he has to call an election. I mean, they has still got a bit of a runway. So I think the effort from his end will be to try to resolve these strikes, or at least calm them down over the next year, so that he's not going into sort of calling an election period with strikes across the board, as we've seen over the holiday period here in the UK.
I've heard conflicting reports, and if you don't mind, this really comes from a lot of what people in the UK are telling me, and conflicting reports with regard to, yes, I know we say the winter could have been worse, it's not as bad. And what I want to ask is, could infrastructure be something that he has to deal with as well? Is there a problem there? Because I've heard complaints over, like, you know, frozen pipes and things like that, as bad as the United States. But what are you hearing? What are your thoughts with regard to this infrastructure picture for the government to deal with?
Well, I mean, it's sort of been a consistent problem. There is a general issue around infrastructure investment that still needs to be done. But I think, you know, I don't know, the problem with infrastructure in the UK is that it does take a long time to actually deliver. So if you're going to sort of change and do something, it's not something you can do overnight. So I think this is a longer term working picture that he's really focused on. I think, frankly, at the moment, the bigger problem is focused really around pay, and it's inflation, it's pressure on the economy. And frankly, ordinary households finding themselves struggling to sort of make do in the current sort of environment. And that's, I think, where the real pressure is coming from. I think the infrastructure investment is always there. There's always a requirement to do it. And there are some very big projects that are underway. But it's really around the kind of big infrastructure problems around rail, rail principally, and roads, because people are increasingly finding it very difficult to use these services, not only because of the strikes, but also because of breakages on the services.
Fair point. People come first. I do appreciate you helping me out with that one. I've been speaking with Raffaello Pantucci, who is Senior Fellow S. Rajaratnam School of International Studies at NTU. I do appreciate your time again. Thank you. Take care and have a great day ahead.
Thank you. You too.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.